All right. Now in the bullpen, we have John Burrs here ready to answer questions about retirement, some of the questions we've gotten from you. So let's head over right now to our special interview segment with this week's financial strategy segment with John Burrs. All right, John. Well, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for inviting me. I always look forward to the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, the folks hear you on this program each and every week in the financial strategy segment, and I know that the insights and the valuable advice that you've been giving has helped so many people because we get emails telling us that. And, of course, you get emails constantly at your email address, john at cfanetwork.org. People can always email you there with any kind of financial planning questions, retirement questions in particular. And I want to talk about that today, John. Doing something a little bit different today. Normally, we do our five-minute financial strategy segment where you come on and share a topic or an idea or a strategy. This week, I just wanted to kind of take a break from that and ask you some questions because I don't know if people realize how long you've been a retirement planner, a retirement specialist. You've been in the business for around 25 years, and I would imagine that you have seen a lot of changes over that 25-year span since you began helping people with retirement. What are some of the changes that you've seen in the retirement planning industry?
Well, it's kind of amazing the transformation that has gone on during that time. I started back in 1986, so the second transformation had just started. But before that, and the people that were retiring at that time basically were the people that came from the so-called greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks, it was a whole different landscape. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the story about the three-legged stool, but the three-legged stool, those folks could count on one-third of their retirement income coming from Social Security,
mm-hmm.
one-third coming from their pension plan, and then another third from their personal savings. And those folks also had another benefit, and that was their health care benefits that they received from their employer. And for most of those folks, that retirement or those health benefits actually went all the way through their retirement. But once the 80s came around, the landscape started changing, and we started to get ready for the baby boomers to start getting ready to retire. And as a result of that, a lot of things have changed. They couldn't count on the Social Security. And you've heard all of the news in the news that how unstable Social Security is and whether or not it's even going to be around. So there's been a lot of worry about, is that going to be a part of my retirement plan? And the biggest change has actually been these defined benefit plans have been going away, these pension plans. In fact, the baby boomers are kind of at fault for that because they saw how good the markets had been performing for several years, and they wanted more control of their own retirement. So as a result of that, we have seen the defined benefit plans slowly go away and being replaced with 401k plans with matching and those type of things. And so as a result of that, the second leg of that stool has really changed, and the third part has been the worst part for baby boomers because they have not done a very good job in personal savings. And then throw on top of that, we're seeing all these companies that basically don't offer health care benefits all the way through retirement anymore. And even more so than that, the baby boomers haven't been able to find these companies where they could last 30 to 35 years in one job to build up enough. And so I think job security is a kind of a big deal that people really had to work through. It's definitely a major challenge in the retirement planning.
All right. Well, speaking of challenges, let's just kind of go through a laundry list of some of the challenges that baby boomers are currently facing in retirement or as they face retirement. You see these on a daily basis. Share with our audience some of the common challenges that are facing baby boomers.
Well, I think the biggest challenge right now is life expectancy. You know, folks are living a lot longer, and with medical technology getting better and better, we don't know how long all the baby boomers are going to live. You know, it's kind of interesting. I heard at one time where just recently, as I think it was 2009, that Hallmark actually made over 100,000 happy birthday cards for people over age 100. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of people living longer. And as a result of that, the baby boomers are having to plan for their retirements the last maybe 20, 30, or even 40 years. So that's probably the first challenge, because we just don't know how long people are going to live, and they have to be able to plan for whatever amount of time that is. The second challenge is they really can't count on their defined benefit plans anymore, because one of the main reasons here is job security, not being able to stay at a job for their whole working career. You know, we've noticed, in fact, here's a statistic. In 1985, there were over 114,000 defined benefit plans, but now there's less than 31,000 of them that are still in existence. And, you know, I hear that story over and over again. In fact, I have a real good friend that he showed me his retirement statement from his pension plan, and he was fully expecting when he hit 65 to be getting $2,400 a month coming in. Well, come to find out, he had left that job several years ago, and I told him to call and make sure this thing's still going. And as a result of his phone call, he found out they went bankrupt, and his plan now is going to pay him somewhere right around $500 a month. So that's a pretty significant change.
Wow.
And you know, we've seen that a lot in a lot of different areas. You know, look at how the airlines have rechanged everything they've done, and a lot of people aren't getting near the pension amount that they were really expecting to get. So to me, that's a huge challenge. And then the third challenge is, well, what about the solvency of Social Security? You know, we're hearing that, like I said earlier, in the news all the time. In fact, our politicians don't even know what to do with it. And now that we're getting to the point of, well, do we continue spending or do we now start cutting back? And you know, if they're going to start cutting back, Social Security is going to be one of the things that they're going to look at. And, you know, I personally believe that if they make changes to the Social Security system, it'll probably happen in two different ways. One is for the people that aren't on Social Security yet, they'll probably raise the age level to where they're going to not be able to start receiving it until later in life. And the second change I see coming will be they will just tax the Social Security benefit more for the people that are already on it, and possibly even cut back the amount of the payment. In fact, if you look at the Social Security annual statement that you get, they have that big caveat underneath it all that says that they could possibly cut this back by at least 25% to 30% of what the shown values are. So,
yeah,
you know, they know that time is coming.
Yeah, you know, those statements that people get in the mail are very valuable. It's important to keep those, especially when you're meeting with a financial advisor. Those have a lot of good information on them. And, you know, Social Security, John, was never designed to be the primary bread and butter income for the average American. And yet today it's really become the mainstay for so many Americans in retirement. I was talking to a gentleman the other day who had about $200,000 in retirement savings. He was just getting ready to retire, and you know, he was planning on using the old Monte Carlo simulation to pull out about 4%. That's what typically financial advisors tell you. You can take out 4% of your funds and not outlive your income. And anyway, so basically that was about $8,000 that he was going to have per year coming out of his retirement savings. And then, of course, his Social Security check was much larger than that. So the Social Security check that many retirees receive, amazingly, is one of the largest checks that they receive in retirement. And it was never designed for that.
Well, that goes back to what we said earlier, back with the Greatest Generation, one-third of their income in retirement was going to come from Social Security. And just like you said, now people are relying on it as one of the major sources.
How many people do you see, John? You talk to a lot of people every single day and every single month. How many people do you see very dependent upon Social Security? In other words, if Social Security were kicked out from underneath them, how many people would be in massive trouble right now in retirement?
It's hard to put a number on that, but I'll tell you, it would be very high because people are really counting on Social Security to carry the load for them, because most of the baby boomers and actually the next generation, the Xers that are coming, really have done a terrible job of personal savings, and they're just not prepared for it. And I have a feeling that if they cut Social Security, you know, we may end up like Greece over here.
Yeah, I could have blood in the streets, so to speak. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And this is a very vital message for all of those you talked about, the Generation Xers, those who are younger, who now have an opportunity to see the breakdown of the defined benefit plans. Now we're moving to these defined contribution plans like the 401ks. And the fact that Social Security is obviously teetering on the edge, they have an opportunity now to save, save, save. And I tell you, that's what we preach here each and every week on the program. So very good point. Let's move into a couple more of these challenges. John, what else is on the horizon for these baby boomers?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for them is going to be their health care. And we have just seen health care skyrocket out. In fact, back in 1980, the average cost for health care for people was about $1,000 a month. And now it's gone to $1,000 a year. But then in 2003, that number jumped to $5,775, and now it's somewhere up around $8,500 to $9,000 a year that people are going to have to set aside for health care. You know, our wages have gone up kind of at a normal pace, but health care has gone up, I think, since 1990, I think is the actual date that I looked at, it's gone up like 119% compared to the normal 3% that people's incomes have gone up, and it's just has gone out of sight. And I think that actually is going to be one of the biggest problems that people are going to have. And, you know, a lot of people are retiring before age 65, and we hear this all the time. Well, how do I take care of my health care from the time I retire till I hit age 65? And people have sticker shock, realizing just how much premiums on health insurance is. And
yeah, you're so definitely right. Yeah, the health care has gotten outrageous. And so that's obviously a concern. Then we have higher taxes possibly looming. What's the tax situation looking like for these baby boomers?
Well, I think it can only go up, to be honest with you, because, you know, you look at all everything in the news. You know, look at our national debt. We're over $14 trillion. Our yearly deficit is about $1.65 trillion. Our unfunded liabilities, now get ready for this number, that's over $114 trillion according to the U.S. debt clock, and I just checked it a couple of days ago. So, you know, I believe taxes are going to have to go higher. And if, quite frankly, if you look at all of the past history of taxes, we're really at a low right now. If you look historically, back during World War II, how did they fund it? By taxing everybody, and the top tax rate was around 94 or 95%. Well, you know, we're a far cry from that, and if they don't figure out how to cut spending, then I think the next step is going to have to be raising taxes on people. So we can no longer say to our clients that when you retire, you're probably going to retire in a lower tax bracket.
That's so true. That's so true, John. You know, I remember going out and speaking at conferences and on TV and saying, you know, the crisis is bad right now, but wait until taxes go up. They're relatively low. And wait until interest rates go up. And, you know, interest rates are at ultra lows right now. They can only go up. And then, of course, John, as we all know, we've been talking about here on this program for a couple of years in our organization, is the fact that inflation which, you know, is still creeping in. If you eat and if you drive, you certainly have seen inflation creeping into your life, but it's going to get worse because of what the Federal Reserve has been doing. And we have even seen some of that this week as the Fed is playing dumb and saying, yes, inflation is going to continue to be a problem, but we think we're going to be able to tame it. You know, it's a big game in Washington. It's a big game all the way around. Inflation is going to slam this nation, unfortunately, because of very poor monetary policies. And that's obviously going to put a massive drain on the savings and the purchasing power of these retirees. What are you hearing from the folks, John, about inflation and their fears about inflation? And what products out there are you able to use to help people overcome that?
Well, I think people are real worried about inflation and what is being projected and what is being talked about. And so, you know, obviously there's some real good ways to fight inflation. And, you know, I always believe that precious metals is a good place to be with a portion of your money because that helps stay at the same level with inflation. And then there's other investments, especially when you start guaranteed income streams. There's products out there now that you can have a lifetime guaranteed income and it will increase with inflation or with the market. So the point of it is I think it's a great way to be able to at least stay up with it. And then obviously diversification and some of the things that we feel where inflation is going to be, kind of your PACE program that you talk about all the time, you know, the precious metals, the agriculture, and the energy, because that's right now where we're seeing the biggest part of the inflation. And so as a result of that, I think having a real diversified portfolio is an important thing to do to help stay pace with it.
Right. Okay, well, let's, in our final moments here, let's move into some of the things that people listening can put into practice to start planning for retirement right now. Maybe we have a listener who is listening who says, you know, I'm now in my 40s and I just have not begun to save for retirement like I know that I should. What does that 40-some-odd-year-old person, John, need to begin doing this week? What do they need to do?
They need to take a financial inventory of their situation. Where are they at now? That is the biggest thing that I see on a daily basis, that people really don't know where they're at. They don't know where their incomes are all going to be coming from. They don't know what their expenses are. You know, just doing a simple thing of sitting down, creating a budget, kind of know where your money goes and then reviewing it on a regular basis. And not only that, especially for married couples, I think it's a great opportunity to sit down with each other, kind of see where the money goes all the time. Because one of the big problems that I have seen through the years is usually one person handles all the finances and the other one has no clue what's going on.
Right.
And by doing this, checking where the money goes on a monthly basis, when the person that kind of handles the finances passes away, the person then that's still alive really isn't, you know, frustrated.
That's so true.
And it's a great way of educating each other and working together towards a goal. So you have to have a starting point. And so the first thing I would recommend is sit down and do a financial inventory of your situation. Second thing that I would recommend is once you've done the inventory, set realistic goals. And I think it's a lot easier to set those goals when you actually find out where all the money goes and how much money goes out the door and how much you're going to actually need during, you know, on a monthly basis during your retirement years. And once you kind of come up with that number, then you can set better goals. And I think that's why we see people taking more risk with their investments than maybe they need to. You know, a lot of people are still trying to hit the home runs out there, and instead of maybe a single or a double that wins a lot of games. And the reason they're trying to hit the home runs is because they really don't have a realistic idea of what their expenses are. And so as a result of that, I think that, you know, you need to do that so that you can mm-hmm. set the realistic goals.
Yeah, so true. All right, anything else that the folks can do right now? Any other steps they can take?
Well, when I talk with people about their investments, I always try to teach them about the four goals that I have for my clients. And I think these four goals, you know, we were talking earlier about how retirement landscapes have changed. Well, it's kind of interesting because since 2008, the landscape is changing again. And as a result of that, I think people are starting to see the value of income streams that they can't outlive. And so my four goals that I always have for people is I always tell them that if you have an asset, the first goal is protect the asset. Because mm-hmm. we've all heard this. The first rule of investing is to do what?
Don't lose money.
Protect your asset. Mm-hmm. The second goal that we have is because I personally believe that we're living in volatile times. And just look at the markets over the last 12 years. You know, a lot of volatility there. And in fact, even now, it's not uncommon to see the Dow Jones go up or down 300 points in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of volatility out there. So if you already have assets, I think you need to find out which assets that you cannot afford to lose and put those in investments that will go up when the market goes up, but not go down when the market goes down. And that sounds real simple, but you know, it's an important thing.
Okay, now you're talking about products that don't go down when the market goes down, but go up when the market goes up. That's the kind of stuff that you like to put your clients into, you say?
I like to put the portion of the money that they can't afford to lose, that mm-hmm. they need to that they're going to use sometime in their life for a retirement guaranteed income.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they use those products, you know, they're not going to one day wake up and have to change their whole life because the market went down 2,000 points in a couple days because we had a big decline.
Okay.
You know, I can't tell you how many people back in 2000 to 2002 that I talked to, and they were all set to retire, you know, thinking, oh, if I put in six more months, I'm ready to go. And then we had nothing but a down market for 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, everything changed for those folks. And then it happened again in 2008. So many people were getting close to wanting to retire, but after the market went down so much, they had to change their goals. And so if you already have the asset, why risk the part you need to ensure your retirement? And so then we come to the third goal that I have, and that is I have learned that the most important thing about an asset isn't necessarily the rate of return of the asset. The most important thing about an asset is how much income can it create and for how long can it create it for. And that is huge. And that is a part of the landscape that's changing since 2008. We're kind of getting back to that again, that people are looking for ways of guaranteeing income streams. And it goes right along with what you've been talking about the last few weeks about creating different streams of income
mm-hmm.
during your retirement. And so that is an important goal. And then the fourth goal that we have for our clients is that once the husband and wife pass away, we want to be able to pass on as much as we can to the heirs or charities as we can, whatever's left over with the least amount of loss to taxes, probate, creditors, and nursing homes.
That sounds like a really good plan. Well, those four things are probably what many people are looking for. You are a retirement specialist. You are, by the way, a foundational part of our Christian Financial Advisor Network. All right, John, so if folks want to contact you, they can obviously email you. Tell them your email.
I can be contacted at John, that's J-O-H-N, at CFANetwork.org. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me and contact me, and I'll look forward to talking with you.
By the way, do you send them a bill whenever they send you an email?
No, I don't. Nope. No, the Lord has been real good about that to us. You know, he's always provided according to his riches and glory, which, by the way, is the greatest promise from the greatest financial planner in history. And as a result of that, you know, I view my career choice as also a ministry, and I will talk with people as long as they want to talk with me, and you'll never get a bill from me for doing that.
Oh, great. So if they'd like to contact you and ask you a question, a financial planning question, a retirement question, they can do so. John, that's J-O-H-N at CFANetwork.org. John, I appreciate you, my friend. You do a great job on this program each and every week, and you're doing a great job of informing and educating our people. I really do appreciate your time this week.
Anytime. And again, thank you for having me on the show today.
All right, well, John Burrs is a foundational part of our Christian Financial Advisor Network on the web at www.cfanetwork.org. If you're looking for a trusted financial advisor in your area, simply go to that website. Or if you'd like to contact John directly with a question, you can do so at his email,